You know, I've very much liked the tenor of the services today. There's a note of victory, of praise. All the songs, I believe, have been praise songs, victory songs. I just trust the Lord will help us to follow the beam right on through and keep a element of praise and victory in our hearts, our lives, in our services, and a positive outlook on life. I believe in that. I preach that. Brother Milo supported me in that when he was here. He preached that kind of doctrine. And that's just what I'd like all of us to do, is think positive, act positive, and have a positive outlook on life and on living for God. Now, I want to notice some more thoughts. I didn't get through with my little message this morning. I want to notice some more thoughts along that same line. And I will refer in the beginning to the 95th Psalm. The second verse says, "Come before His presence with thanksgiving." Then the 100th Psalm, the fourth verse, says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Then the 116th Psalm, the 17th verse, says, "I will offer unto Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." It seems to me, though I can't get a hold of it right now as to where it is or just what connection, but seems to me that there's a text in the psalm says the sacrifice of God is thanksgiving. Now, all this is summing up to the fact that God is looking for praise, blessing, glory, and thanksgiving out of you and me. He wants us to recognize the blessings of God and to return blessing to Him. You remember the psalmist said in the 103rd Psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We think a great deal about God blessing us. And we pray for God to bless us. We delight in His blessing, but He wants some blessing too. He wants some return from you and me. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." We may wonder how we can bless the Lord, and we may kind of overlook that part of it, wanting God to bless us. But I have a pretty deep conviction in my heart that God will bless me more if I bless Him more. If I return the blessing to Him and that my soul pours out a blessing toward God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Sometimes we remind me of the way our children are sometimes. And that isn't just isolated cases. That's on a pretty broad scale, maybe pretty general. That our children kind of forget us till they want something. And then they contact us when they want something or need something we can do for them. Well, we don't appreciate that a great deal, do we? For our children to be that way. If we don't, I don't believe God does. I don't believe God's pleased with us just coming and making contact with Him when we want something or when we need something He can do for us. But God delights in our souls pouring out a blessing toward Him. Thanksgiving, praise, honor, worship, glory, adoration pouring out of our souls to Him for His mercies and His blessings to us. Now, David, I believe, wrote the most of any writer in the Bible along the lines of thanksgiving, praise, blessings to God from our souls, giving honor and glory to Him. But in the 116th Psalm, verse 12, seems like after he had said all that he could say about that, then he just felt like he was far short yet, and he looked about him and he said, "And now, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits to me?" Not a writer in the Bible that wrote as much about thanksgiving, honor and praise and glory to God as David gave Him. But he said, "What can I render to Him for all of His benefits unto me?" Some writer, I forget whether this was the psalmist or some of the others, he was speaking about the mercies of the Lord, the benefits that he'd received from the Lord, and he said, "When I consider them, they are too numerous for me." He couldn't count them up. You and I can't count up ours either. We would not be able to count up the blessings. The 68th Psalm, the 19th verse, the psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Loads us with benefits every day, and yet we lose sight of those benefits many times when we're in a conflict, when trouble comes our way, affliction, suffering, pain, agitation, distress, whatever. When it comes our way, many times we lose sight of those things. And yet God is daily loading us with benefits. Not just meager benefits, but loading us with them every day. We need to recognize that. We need to keep those things before our minds, and they will help us in the difficult times of life. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for all things. In the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, in the 18th verse, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now that's a big order, isn't it? Giving thanks always for all things unto God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty difficult, you know it? But I say again, back to my little thought that I mention quite often, everything that's mentioned in the New Testament is accessible to you and me. If God told us to give thanks for all things, it's possible for us to do that. The grace of God will make it possible for us to do that. Maybe we need to abound more in the grace and love of Christ. Maybe we need to be more abundant in our faith. But however that be, it's still accessible to us, a degree of grace and of faith where we can give thanks for all things. Now, I'm not just satisfied about my understanding of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I'm not just satisfied in my mind whether that term, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, refers to the all things or refers to you giving thanks in all things. But when I consider God's promise in His Word that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, when I consider that according to God's Word, God accepts the responsibility when we turn our lives over to Him, commit ourselves to Him, He accepts the responsibility for everything that happens to us in life. And on that basis, I conclude that there is no trial that reaches us, that gets through to us, that God permits to come our way, but what He sends grace right along with it to handle it and take care of it. That inclines me to believe that the all things, perhaps, is referred to in this text as being the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm sure it is God's will for us to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. I'm reminded at this point of something that Grace read here in the prayer meeting one night. It's been a long while ago, but I kind of latched on to it. And carried it along with me, and I think of it often, refer to it once in a while, about a pastor who was always overflowing with thanksgiving and praise. And his prayers were just full of thanksgiving. And his sermons had a lot of thanksgiving in them. And his congregation was accustomed to that. One Sunday morning, a bad storm was on. It was just real bad weather. And there were just a few that lived right around near the meeting house that was able to get out to the service that morning. Very few there. But they were speculating among themselves, what will our pastor give thanks for this morning? It was so bad, they just wondered, what could our pastor give thanks for this morning? And when he opened his prayer at the service, he said, God, we thank Thee that every Lord's Day morning isn't like this one. And there was something to be thankful for. There was a man that was living on the Thanksgiving glory side of life. And his spirit couldn't be dampened by the bad storm that was on. They weren't all like that. I'm reminded of a little incident I read about in a prayer meeting one night. The testimonies were all running along the line of the scriptures that had meant the most to different ones, and what they had gotten the most out of and been the greatest blessing to them. And there was an old colored brother there. Finally, he got up and he said, well, he said, the scripture that has meant the most to me in life is where Jesus said it came to pass. Well, they said, how did you get so much blessing out of that? Well, he said, I have my troubles and my trials, my problems and my tests, but says when those things come to me, I just think they came to pass. They didn't come to stay. They'll soon be gone. There was somebody else living on the Thanksgiving glory side of life. You know, that's the best side anyhow. We used to sing a song. It was in the little Reformation glory song book. We don't have it in our book, but I wish we did have the sunny side of life. I believe that's where you and I should live, on the sunny side of life, with a bright outlook toward life, a bright outlook toward life's problems. They came to pass. They didn't come to stay. I read another incident about a fellow. He was a great hand to praise God and thank God. And in the services, he'd do a lot of praising God. And he'd just break loose and kind of agitated these staid form of people where he was. And so one night they were having a business meeting, and they didn't want this fella disturbing their business meeting, so they put him off in a little anteroom out there by himself and gave him a geography to read. And pretty soon he tore loose in there to praising God and thanking God, and They went back there and says, "What are you thanking God for now? What'd you get out of that old dry geography book to see anything to thank God for?" Well, they said, "I just read in here where they discovered a place down in the South Pacific where the ocean was 6 miles deep." And he said, "I remembered that God said he cast my sins into the depth of the sea." And he just went into some more thanksgiving and praise and worship. There's another fellow living on the sunny side of life, the thanksgiving side of life. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Folks, we need to be more cheerful. You take an army in carnal warfare, and maybe they've been getting a few beatings and whipped a few times, and the morale is down, and they're discouraged, and they go into a major battle and they're not very effective. But you take an army that's flushed with victories and their morale is high, and let them go into a battle and they're pretty hard to handle. It's the same way with you and me. If we're glum, if we're discouraged, if we have a negative attitude toward life, if we have failed to be thankful and to praise God for His blessings and to count them as we went along, when the trials and tests come upon us, we're an easy victim to them. But if we're just bright and cheerful and got a bright outlook on life and filled with thanksgiving and been reflecting on the blessings and the mercies and the graces of God, the devil can do a lot to us and not affect us much. We're more effective in the conflict. The things that happen to a life that is in God's hands, consecrated and dedicated to God, is by the permission of God. And God has a purpose in all those things. I like Brother Carver's thought. I've heard him bring it out several times about God winnoweth my path. And the thought is, as he brings it out, that God just goes along ahead of us and He sees the things that's in our path. And the things that He wants to come to us, that He sees will be a help to us, He just lets them through, and the other things He just brushes out of the way as He goes along and just winnows our path. Well, now that's a wonderful faith to live life in, isn't it? That's a wonderful outlook to have. God's just going ahead of me and He's just fanning out the things that He sees would be detrimental to me, and the things that He sees that I need to meet and that would be good for my spiritual life and to strengthen me in my faith and to settle me down in Him, He's leaving them there for me to encounter as I go along. Well, then I can see some point here. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Everything is. Whatever comes to you and me, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And let us live our lives in that confidence that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, and believe that and meet our problems in life in that prospect and be thankful. We have a song that says, "I thank you, Lord, for the valleys. We all like mountaintop experiences. But in the song, it brings out that the valleys had produced some wonderful blessings and benefits in the life. And I thank you for the trials that I passed through today. I believe something like that's in the song. It's difficult for us to thank God for trials, isn't it? That's pretty difficult. But when we can recognize that those things are working for our spiritual benefit and to help get us to heaven. Brother Chandler used to teach us when he was preaching and teaching and getting down into kind of close points, he'd say, folks, heaven's where we started. That's where we started, and this is some of the things in getting there. We're not there yet. We have to go through this and this and this and so on the way, but heaven's where we started. And we are in hopes, under God, by His divine grace, of making it through and getting to heaven in the end. In Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Folks, we need to thank God for the faith He gives us. We're instructed in God's Word to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And that's the only way we're going to lay hold on eternal life, is by fighting the good fight of faith. We are taught to resist the devil steadfastly in the faith and to be able to live an established life of victory and triumph. Thanks God for that. Thank God for His grace and the faith that He gives us to enable us to do that. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, he said, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Giveth us the victory. Thank God for victory. And when God blesses you with a victory, thank Him for that and press right on for another one. For more. You're more likely to get another victory if you glorify God for this one you already had that He blessed you with. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 14th verse, he said, thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And folks, the good news that I bring you and the thing that we should be wonderfully thankful for is that the child of God, living by faith, fighting the good fight of faith, never needs take a beating. Thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Paul said in the closing verses, the last two or three verses of the 8th chapter of Romans, after he had summed up several different things, all of them bad, none of them that we would choose, he said, shall these things be able to separate us from the love of Christ, or the love of God which is in Christ? Then he said, nay, but in all these things we're more than conquerors. Now that's the plane we can live on. I'm saying it again, that everything in the New Testament or everything that's written in the Bible is accessible to you and me. God never wrote in the Bible everything that belonged to Him, but He did write in the Bible those things that He saw would be a help to us and a blessing to us. The Bible is a message to us. It isn't a message to God. Somebody said to me once, said, well, if we knew everything in that Bible, we'd be as smart as God. Oh, no, I said, not that. God never put in everything in the Bible He knew. He put in the Bible what He wanted us to know. And He never wrote in the Bible everything that He could do. He wrote in the Bible what He wanted us to get a hold of and He could do for us. And the ways in which He could bless us. And we need to recognize God as the author of that faith that He gives us to live an established, victorious, triumphant life. Overcoming life. Overcoming our trials and our problems. And I say, I've said this numbers of times, I say it yet for our encouragement, that God has sufficient grace for every child He has to meet every problem in his life and overcome it through the power of God. Be thankful for that. In the 3rd chapter of Colossians, in the 15th verse, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's nothing so great as the peace of God in your heart. The next thing to it, the peace of God in your heart, the next thing to it is peace among ourselves. And the peace of God will help that forward to a great extent. You take a person that is lacking in peace in his heart, between him and God, it's going to be difficult for him to fit into the overall structure and just be at peace with the people of God. Be thankful for the peace of God in your heart. It governs everything. It takes care of our peace among ourselves. After Jesus had given that lesson in the 9th chapter of Mark about if your hand offends you, pluck it out, cut it off, cast it from you, and your foot likewise, and your eye offends you, pluck it out. At the conclusion, he said, every one of you shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Then in the last verse of that chapter, 9th chapter of Mark, he said, have salt in yourselves and be at peace one with another. It'll be difficult to be at peace one with another if we're not at peace with God. And along with this, Thank God for the peace of God that's in your heart. Be thankful enough for it that you'll contend for it and strive for it to keep it at all costs. Keep peace in your heart. To the which ye are also ye are called in one body. Thank God for calling you into the one body of Christ. Value that. That's important. To be a member in particular in the body of Christ, that's important. Thank God for the truth. Do we value being in the body of Christ? Are we thankful that God has led us into the one body of Christ? Called us by His grace into one body. Are we thankful for what the body of Christ is? And for what the body of Christ is to us? What it means to us to be in a body that has the elements of edification and comfort and grace in it, to where that He said that it maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Just a mutual edification flowing from heart to heart. It's a blessing to be in a body like that. Thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for calling you into that body. And for helping you to find the true way. The right way. And you take people that's satisfied and contented, they're not looking around for something else. And if we're established in the faith and abounding in the grace and love of Christ, and members in particular in the body of Christ, and drawing the comfort and consolation and grace and edification from association with the saints, we're not looking for anything else. We're just satisfied there. That's the place where you belong. Somebody remarked one time about driving through Utah. Now, Utah is where the Mormons settled after a long trek from Illinois, out across the deserts and the mountains, and all in very difficult times. And they arrived in Utah, and there they settled. Somebody told me they saw, I didn't see this, I've been through Utah different times, but I didn't happen to see this. They said they had signs up over in Utah, "This is the place." That was the end of their journey. That's where they come to, and that's where they settled. I say that we ought to drive up a stake and put a sign on it. Right here in this experience that we have come to the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and just stake out our claim and say, "This is the place. This is it. I settle right here. This is the end of my journey right here." Be thankful for the one body of Christ. Thankful for the truth. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter and the second verse, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Now, if you all think that I don't speak properly when I say you all. Paul said it here. That's kind of an oaky expression anyhow, I guess, but Paul said it. I give thanks for you all, making mention of you in my prayers. And a child of God is overflowing with thanksgiving for other children of God, for the people of God. We draw something from them. They mean something to us. They're a blessing to us. Jesus, when He was teaching His disciples to pray, the very first words that He spoke in that prayer was, "Our Father." Not my Father, but our Father. My Father and my brethren's Father, Father too. The Father of all the children of God. He wants me to recognize you and to be thankful for you. And that there are other folks going this way and that I am receiving something from them. In the 11th chapter of Proverbs, verse 30, he says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." And God has it so arranged and so set up that you and I, whether we like to acknowledge it or not, we live pretty much off of the fruit of one another's lives. Just picking the fruit of the Spirit, the grace, the comfort, the consolation, the edification, the strength, One from another, the body makes increase of itself under the edifying of itself in love. That's just the way the body of Christ works. It's just a built-in. Edification is just a built-in in the body of Christ, just a part of it. Let us be thankful for God's people. I often thank God for being one of the people of God and among the people of God. I'm just one among the rest. Sometimes I've heard folks say, "I'm going to heaven if I have to go by myself." And sometimes them folks feel like they're kind of going by themselves. They just don't recognize that God's got some other folks beside them. They kind of narrow it down pretty much. I recognize that God has you too beside me. And that God has a lot of children that I've never seen or heard tell of. He's got a pretty big family in this world. And we're thankful for everyone. For every child of God. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, in verse 25, Jesus here is praying to His Father. He said, "I thank Thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Now He was thankful for this. Whatever He was thankful for, I'm persuaded had some virtue in it. Some essence there. Something that would be worthy for me to consider and be thankful for too. He said, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes," to humble people. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." Folks, we should be thankful to God for every ray of light He gives us, for every bit of truth that He reveals to our soul. Therein is the fundamental basic principle of our relationship with God. And of the building of the church of God. Jesus said to Peter, after Peter had confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I say that the church of God is built upon the solid, impregnable rock of divine revelation of truth to the souls of its members. And that we should deeply appreciate and be thankful for every bit of truth that God through the Spirit reveals to our souls. And we should value it enough to accept it, submit to it. And when He reveals light to our souls, value light enough to walk in it, measure up to it, and go right along with Him. Be thankful for everything that God does to help us in our spiritual life and on our journey toward heaven. Amen.